So let's pray before our Torah study. Lord, thank you for your mercies, Lord, over us. Thank you for your grace, for your blessings upon us, Lord. Lord, we invite you, be in our hearts, speak to our hearts, and help us to follow you, Lord, with all our lives, Lord. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Today's Torah Porsha, very simple. And very good Torah portion, actually. Name of the Torah portion, Pashrat Tasriya Metzora, and two parts of it. She conceives, and second part, infected one. You see why it's tough, yeah? And I want to speak from this Torah portion today, and everything I will speak today is the foundation of our faith. I believe the Lord put in my heart to speak about our foundations, to build some of the foundations in our life. We are, as Messianic believers, should build our faith on the Scriptures and only on the Scriptures. This is our foundation, only. And never forsake who we are and why we are part of Messianic movement, why we are Messianic believers. This is so important for us. And today's Torah Porsha we'll speak about it to our life. And first of all, I want to mention here why the Lord puts these two completely different ideas and subjects so close to each other in the Torah. Birth of the baby, she conceives, everything what's happened there in the Torah portion, and Metzora, infected one, about sickness, about leper, and death or healing in the end. So what's common here? Why the Lord is talking to us? Why he is putting these two ideas together in the Torah, so close to each other? Yes, in both cases, the woman who gave birth and the person who had signs of the sickness on his skin are unclean for a certain period of time. If you read this place of scripture, they should be taken apart from the Israel, from the fellowship. During this time, they need to be separated from other people of Israel. After some time, they need to be immersed in the water and bring the special offerings to the Lord, so they may be restored back to those people. In the case of when women give birth, it's a lot, it's huge time. You read it probably for women, for men, it's different for boy and girl. And also in the case of infection on the skin, the same. They should be separated for a special certain time from the fellowship of Israel. So why is that? A mother giving birth and a person having the problem on his skin, both have strict rules of separation and require specific sacrifices in both cases. And of course, one of the practical meaning, it's easy because we live in the modern era. We know everything about medicine. We know too much sometimes. It's even hard to go to the doctor because you sometimes know better than him. You can tell him what to do to your health and how to treat you. So one of the reasons, very practical reason, and is to care for the people of Israel and for a newborn baby with its mother. We all know the term quarantine, or how to say it in English? Yes, yes. Almost in Russian, quarantine. So this is the time of restoration and time of healing. This is care about Israel, people of Israel, and also time of care for mother and baby. This is the practical. But also, one more meaning here, and I found it interesting for myself. Metzora, this is the infected one, or also leprosy, because we can read it about leprosy in the Torah portion, often used as a symbol of sin. When we speak about people who went through Metzora, often it used as a symbol of sin. And let's look in the Torah, in the Tanakh, about Tazria, give birth, the birth of baby in the scriptures. And I want to read it from Psalms chapter 51. Can you open with me, please, and read with me, because I want to speak about it very clearly. King David speaks here about one of the interesting ideas from the scripture. Behold, I was born in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Very interesting statement. This is the basic understanding of the scriptures, and it goes back to the time of the first sin and disobedience of Adam. Probably we all know about this story in the scriptures. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God speaking to Adam, and he said to him, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it." And I want to ask you, because you know English better than me, what does it mean, "you shall not eat"? But little bit. Small piece. Better not, zero, nothing. Even don't smell it. Don't come close. "For on the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." And like this here, "you shall surely die." It's not enough to say "you shall die." Because, you know, we as a people sometimes, who knows? Maybe not surely. But this is very simple, very strong. "You shall surely die. Don't eat." And you know what's happened with Adam and with Eve? Surely they eat. They ate of it, from it. So what happened with Adam after he ate from the tree? He lived for a long time. 930 years total. It was long life. I mean, can you imagine? 200 years baby, still baby. Youth came to 450 years old. So different, awesome. Why did the Lord tell him, "you will die, surely die," but allow him to live so long afterwards? What's happened? Why? Why is it so? The Lord tell him, "in the day you will eat from it, you will die." And 930 years later, he's still alive. So this is the revelation of the scripture. He continues to live, but Adam's spirit was separated from the Lord. Sin came into his life, and with sin came death. Sin is sickness for all mankind. Adam died spiritually, and that very moment he ate. So he died spiritually at the same moment he ate from this fruit of knowledge, good and evil. The scriptures trace the genealogy from father to son, and the sin passed from generation to generation, from man to his offspring, in the blood of the human race. And beginning of it was disobedience of Adam in the beginning of Genesis. This is why King David used these words. "Behold, I was born in iniquity, and in sin when my mother conceived me." Every person on this earth was born with a sinful nature, everyone. And I don't want to ask you to tell one another you was born in a sinful nature, but this is true, this is reality of us. Because of disobedience of first Adam. Everyone except one. Yeshua, the Messiah. Let's say together, Yeshua, the Messiah. One of the strongest prophecy about Messiah in the Tanakh, we can find in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Especially I love this prophecy, because this is something so strong, so supernatural for us. Isaiah 7, 14. "Therefore, Adonai himself will give you a sign," in Hebrew, ot. "Behold, the virgin, Alma, will conceive. When she is giving birth to a son, she will call his name Emmanuel," or in Hebrew, Emmanuel, God with us. So two very important places here. And I like to read from David Stern's commentary about this prophecy. And I want to read it because it's very important for me personally. About the word ought, sign. Why it is a sign? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The Hebrew word for sign, ought, means an extraordinary event that demonstrates and calls attention to God's direct involvement in human affairs. And, you know, we're using this word every Shabbat because we can find the same word in the prayer of Veshamru. Othi le'olam va'et. It is a sign for all time, forever. It's not simple, small, but this is the sign forever for you. The same word, ot. So it was something very important and involved the Lord to come and to do miracle. And also, I want to read about other word here about word Alma. Some of the Orthodox scholars are interpreting Isaiah their own way. In using the Hebrew word Alma, meaning to refer to a young woman, had he meant virgin, he would have written Betulah. It's also word virgin in Hebrew, Betulah, different word. And so many people deceived by their understanding, and they don't believe that Yeshua was born from the Father, from the Lord. The answer is Alma is used seven times in the Hebrew Bible, and always it either clearly means or implies a virgin. In the Bible, Alma always refers to an unmarried woman of good reputation. In Genesis 24:43, it applies to Rebecca, Isaac's future bride. In Exodus 2:8, it describes the infant Moshe's older sister Miriam. She was 9 years old. She was virgin at the time. In the other places, it refers to a young maidens playing on timbrels. Royal in the Psalms 68:25, and maidens being courted. It's Proverbs 30:19. So always in each case, the context requires a young unmarried woman of good reputation, virgin. When you see the word Alma in the scriptures, it's about young women who don't know men yet. Moreover, Matityahu here is quoting from the Septuagint, the first translation of the Tanakh into Greek. It's Gospel of Matityahu, Matthew in English, Matfei in Russian. So he quotes from Septuagint. Septuagint is the earliest extant Greek translation of the Old Testament from the original Hebrew. So more than two centuries before Yeshua was born, the Jewish translators of the Septuagint choose the Greek word parthenos to render Alma. Parthenos absolutely means virgin. This was long before the New Testament was written. So when the Jewish translator interpret this place of scripture from Isaiah, they used word parthenos, virgin, with no question. It was obvious for them. Language is living and changes over time, we know it. And this is why it's confusing to apply modern meanings to words which was written with ancient meanings thousands of years ago in old Hebrew. However, the Bible itself shows us how we can know when an Alma is the virgin in the scriptures. And Luke chapter 1, verse 34. How can this be, asked Miriam of the angel, since I'm a virgin? Obvious places of scriptures speaking about Mary as the virgin. A possible reason for Isaiah using the word Alma instead of Betulah is that in biblical, as opposed to later Hebrew, Betulah does not always absolutely mean virgin. As we learn from Joel 1:8, it said here, lament like a Betulah, virgin, girded with sackcloth of the husband of her youth. It's not virgin here in this place. And also Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 19, speaks of woman after her wedding night as a betulah, even though she was clearly no longer a virgin. So this specific word Alma in the Isaiah, if you will hear it from somebody and somebody will refer you to this word and said, in Hebrew it does not mean virgin, does not believe, because in the context of the Isaiah chapter 7, 14, it speaks about virgin. She will give birth. It's sign from the Lord to the people of Israel forever. And it's so important that it's here about the Messiah. And, you know, for me it's interesting. In fact, even Muslims believe that in the virgin birth of Jesus. I found it. It was very interesting for me. You can look at the Wikipedia. It's there. You know, Wikipedia knows everything. Even these things. So, Messiah was born without generational sin. Why? You may ask me, why you are speaking so long about it? Why it's important for us here in the Messianic movement, in the Messianic congregation, why are you speaking about it? Because this fact has significant impact on us, on our faith, our beliefs, and as a result, obviously, about and on our salvation. This is a very important fact. If Yeshua was only the perfect man, the tzaddik, or the good rabbi, who was born in sin or sinfully, our faith is useless. If he's only tzaddik, if he's only rabbi, if he's good man, teacher, scholar, or somebody else, prophet, even prophet, if he's only that, our faith is useless, doesn't have any foundation. It's very important to know it. And some of believers are going in the direction of Orthodox Judaism. They're reading so many books about it, and they're going so away from the faith, from the foundation of faith. And they're forgetting about the faith and foundation of our faith. This is why we are Messianic believers. Let's say to somebody else, we are Messianic believers. And you can say it with proud, but good proud, not bad proud. I'm a Messianic believer. This is why I'm a Messianic believer. Because my faith builds upon the fact that our Messiah Yeshua, Son of God, whose Father is the Lord Himself. This is our foundation of our faith. It's very important. And Luke chapter 1, verse 35, I like this place. It's always, when I read it, it's always anointed. I feel anointed from the Lord. When Mary asked, how can it be? I don't know, husband. I'm virgin. An angel answered her. The angel answered her, the Ruach HaKodesh will come over you. Holy Spirit will come over you. The power of Ha'Elyon will cover you. Therefore, the Holy Child born to you will be called the Son of God. Can you imagine for Mary to hear these words? The Holy Child, child without generational sin. Blameless, holy from the beginning. And every one of us, we were born in sin, but he was holy from the beginning because his Father is Heavenly Father. It's so blessing for me to know, to remember it. And only the sinless Lord, the Son of God, can redeem us and purchase us by his blood. Only he can do it. Pure, holy, separated from the beginning. The Son of the living Lord purified us. And it's having the practical meaning for us. It is only by his sacrifice that we are made righteous. Only by his sacrifice. Sacrifice of the holy Son of God, the Lord himself. And I want to read a few places of scriptures and we'll go even more to the practical understanding of this revelation from the Lord. Let's read with me John chapter 1, Yohanan chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. And it's so good to read it. But whoever did receive him, let's say together, whoever. What does it mean in English, whoever? Everyone. I'm glad that it includes me. I'm happy about it. I'm glad it includes you. You include it in this everyone, because the Lord so loved you. So he gave his only son. But whoever did receive him, those trusting in his name, to these he gave the right to become children of God. So he gave the right. How? It said here, next verse. They were born not of a bloodline. You see, the same idea. Not from the bloodline from first Adam, because it's sinful. Yeshua also called in the scriptures second Adam, blameless, without sin. Generational curse stopped upon him. He stopped the curse on this earth. He is the blessing. He is the treasure. He is the savior of all mankind. He has the power to do it. They were born not of a bloodline, not of human desire, nor of man's will. You know, I like this, not on human desire. Some people think, okay, I can't believe Lord, I can't believe Lord. No, the salvation comes from him. He's only savior. So this is why we should understand this treasury of salvation. It's treasure for us. They were born not of bloodline, not of human desire, not of man's will, but of God. They were born of God. Everyone who believes in him. It's not only spiritual meaning, it's practical meaning. Next place of scripture, 1 John chapter 5. 1 Yohanan chapter 5. I like this place. For everyone born of God, let's say together, born of God. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. And the victory that has overcome the world is this, our faith. Everyone born of God. It's very practical, powerful, and has great meaning for us. And the next place I like, I'm enjoying when I read it always, because I see humor here and great wisdom. And I mean, I know that two Jewish people speak to each other, and one of them is the Lord of all, Yeshua. This is a discussion with Nicodemus. John chapter 3. I mean, when you read it all this, you can see how Yeshua answered him and how he tried to understand it, how he tried to have discussion about it and disagree with something, but, you know, it's hard to disagree with the Lord. Very hard. It's difficult. So Yeshua answered him, Amen, Amen, I tell you. Two Amen. So something important here. Unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless somebody, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Even see, we don't speak about go there or enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, he is the teacher of Israel, he's Prushim. Pharisee, he is a knowledgeable man, he has a lot of wisdom. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus said to him, he cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born. And I like here, can he? You know, two Jewish people speaking to each other. You know, from both straits, I mean, I'm the old man. Can I go to my mother womb? Is it possible, Rabbi? Give me, please, advice. What should I do? Yeshua answered it, because Yeshua speaks from the other perspective, spiritual perspective of heaven. Actually, spiritual, it's very practical. We cannot see it, but it's practical. It's here. It's working. We cannot see the Lord, but He is here. We cannot see anointing of the Spirit, but anointing is here. We cannot understand the miracles, but the Lord is working right now in this place. Because He promised when two or three come together in His name, He is here. This is why everything's happened with us, by our faith. So, can I go to mother? No. Yeshua answered, Amen, amen, I tell you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Water is our covenant with the Lord, our obedience to Him. We are promising to the Lord to be with Him, to follow Him. This is our part of our faith. And second part, spirit. It's very obvious in this place. Born of water, of our obedience, of our covenant. And spirit. Let's say together, spirit. So Nicodemus was a Purushim, Pharisee, teacher of Israel, and he was not aware of the basic truth of the Bible completely. Because he was so knowledgeable in so many things, it was no place in him to know, to think about these very small but very important issues of the Scriptures. And also, he don't know because this mystery fully revealed through Yeshua the Messiah. He revealed this mystery to us through His death and resurrection. Through the Holy Spirit, He revealed this mystery to us. What does it mean to be born again, born from above, born from the Holy Spirit? So now these words have not only poetic meanings for us, but practical meanings. The Lord speaks here about seed of the Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, in us. He gave us birth by His Spirit, and it's very practical. It's actually happened through our faith. When we received Him, He sent the Holy Spirit in our hearts. His life is inside us. We are children of God. It's not only fairy tale. It's not fairy tale. It's truth. It's happened through His Spirit. He conceived us, our spirit, through Holy Spirit. Faith is the beginning of something wonderful. The Lord Himself gave birth to our spirit. He breathed life inside of us. There is no longer any question. This is a simple fact. To be a child of God, to be born from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, to get rid from this old nature of old Adam. And even more practical, every one of us, we are sinners because of our sinful nature, every one of us. We were born into sin because of Adam, first Adam. It is now in our blood. We are sick from birth with this fatal disease. But the Lord Yeshua brought redemption and medicine from this sickness through His death and resurrection. He reconciles us with Him and breathes eternal life into us. And He made us righteous. And I will go a little bit, few minutes here, but the most important meanings, I believe, in my life, when I understood it, it was most important meanings for my life. As a messianic believers, we must understand that we are not righteous, we are not redeemed, because we are observant. It's not about observance. Or because we keep certain practices. Our righteousness, our redemption is from the Lord and only from the Lord. Let's say together, only from the Lord. You know, when some people disagree with me, I always refer to the story of criminal on the cross. Do you remember this story? Two people were crucified behind Yeshua. One of them cursing Yeshua, and another one said, "Please remember me when you will enter the kingdom of your Father." You remember this story? And do you remember the answer from Yeshua? You remember, he said, "Okay, you need to keep all the commandments here. You need to fast a lot. You need to do this and that and that. And after, he will come to me and he will talk to you." It was last moment in his life, last hours of his life. Yeshua told him, "Now, today, you will enter the kingdom of the Lord with me." It's so important to know. It's so refreshing to know. Righteousness and redemption is the supernatural gift from the Lord in the Holy Spirit. And the last place of Scripture, and I want to reveal here, because some people has this understanding. So I'm righteous, I don't need to do anything good. I'm already righteous, I'm already born from the above. It's all for me, I'm good enough, I'm going to heaven. I'm like this criminal, will do everything I want and will repent in the last moment. No. Let's read the last place of Scripture, Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. "Also, whoever is righteous, let him go on doing what is righteous. And whoever is holy, let him go on being made holy." We are keepers of the Lord's commandments because we are obedient to the Lord, because we are made by Him. He made us righteous in Him, through His death and resurrection. And I like here, already righteous by faith, doing righteousness. Already holy, go on being holy. Continue to do it, to grow in it, to make stronger and stronger, to be more and more with the Lord. So, why I'm speaking about it? Because I believe this is the foundation. It's a very simple foundation for our faith, but it's critical. We need to understand origin of our righteousness. Because we as a messianic movement, as a messianic believers, we believe in righteousness through the Messiah Yeshua and only through Him. We cannot be holy by our works. We cannot make ourselves holy and better without His presence of His Spirit. And I just want to end with a prayer. And if you are here for first time or maybe for a long time you're trying to build upon yourself, I just want to invite you to receive Yeshua, to accept Him, to submit yourself to Him, to be covered by His righteousness, His mercy, His redemption. So I want to pray. Let's pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, we want to thank you for your great sacrifice, your great mercy for us. Lord, we want to thank you for Yeshua the Messiah, our Master, our Savior. Yeshua, thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your death and resurrection. Thank you for miracles in our life. Lord, please forgive us. Be merciful on us, Lord. Help us to remember that we are sinners without you. And only you is precious in our lives, Lord. Only through you, through your blood, through your Spirit, we are saved. We have mercy from you because of you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. Let's close with a blessing, and please not be alone. we will do without English, so forgive me. Yeverecha Adonai veishmerecha Yaher Adonai panavelecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha шалом. Да благословит тебя Господь и сохранит тебя. Да презрит на тебя Господь, светлым лицом своим и помилует тебя. Да обратит Господь свое лицо на тебя и даст тебе шалом. Бешем Иешуа ха-Машиах. Амен. Шаббат шалом. Шаббат.